Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
Welcome to Signs of Life Radio. This is the edition of The Gathering, and I'm Bob Ginsberg. I'm joined by Tom and Melissa Gould and Fran Ginsberg. And tonight's topic is Science in 2012, What Might Happen, and Was This Really Predicted? I know that it's a topic that a lot of people are interested in. We discussed it once before on the show, but after all, it is 2012, and there are a lot more questions and a lot more things to answer, and we're going to attempt to do that. Before we get started, we'd like to tell you that you are welcome to call in during the show. The number here is 1-888-627-6008. And if you had anything to add and or maybe teach us, please feel free to do so. And let's just get some announcements out of the way.
Okay. Well, let's see. Let's all discuss our usual Visa credit cards, Amazon.com, iGive. I know, Melissa, you've got the credit card. And,
I love pulling
and you're
that out.
Racking up lots of points for us with both iGive and Amazon. I know I'm always on Amazon, mm-hmm. So this is a great way. So for our listeners who love the radio show, and our new ones who are just getting acquainted with us, this is one way to support this radio show, is to do your shopping either on Amazon.com by using the link at the Forever Family Foundation website, or going to iGive.com, naming Forever Family Foundation as the charity of your choice, and then shopping in their 900 and more online stores, and very familiar stores like Sears and Land's End, and almost anything you find online, you will find by going through the iGive.com supermarket store. And then you can charge it all on the Visa credit card that you can get on the Forever Family Foundation website. And Visa makes a donation to us, Amazon makes a donation to us, and iGive makes a donation to us that is dependent on which store you shop in. So show us that you care, like Melissa and Tom. And use our links to do your shopping online. And let's see, what else? If you're a business interested in advertising on Signs of Life Radio, call the office at 631-425-7707 or send us an email at radio@foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Our Holiday of the Earth raffle is in full swing. We have 5 medium readings we're raffling off. It's $5 a chance. Go online at the website, foreverfamilyfoundation.org. I can't say that enough. and enter the raffle because usually this Earth Day raffle, it's very short. There are not a lot of people entering, so your chances of winning are better than any other time. We also have one event up that still has a few seats left. It's Visitation Rites with certified medium Bobby Allison. It's on April 20th in Oceanside. There are 7 seats left. And that's it for our announcements today.
All right. And as I mentioned, our topic is 2012 and the science, what might happen. Was it really predicted? I guess we've all heard and read a little bit about 2012. You know, some people say it's a myth. Some say it's a prediction. Some say it's a prophecy. What is it, Tom?
Well, what actually I wanted to talk about was not what might happen, but what is scientifically definitely going to happen. And it's rather major. And, you know, we here at the Forever Family Foundation, we do talk about topics that are not proven, and some people don't believe in and that sort of thing, and we're looking for the science to prove what we're talking about.
Right.
Well, I thought I've been reading this book that you lent me about 2012 and what the Mayans predicted and what Nostradamus predicted and what the Bibles predicted and all of that sort of thing. But there's a very interesting chapter about the science of what's actually going on, and it's rather major. As you know, and most people know in our audience, our solar system, the planets, you know, 8 or 9, depending on how you feel about Pluto, are orbiting around the sun and getting all their energy from the sun. Well, that's just our solar system. Our solar system is one of many that make up the galaxy that we know as the Milky Way. And each solar system, as does each planet, is revolving not around the sun, but around the black hole, which is an incredibly powerful place in the galaxy. And the solar systems, just as the planets get their power from the sun, the solar systems get their power from the black hole. So that's the relationship that we're talking about. Well, it turns out that every, 26,000 years, as the solar system orbits around the black hole, there is the Milky Way has a median, an equator, if you will, and we are in the process of passing over the equator of the galaxy. And the significant event that is going to happen, and I'm saying going to because there's a 36-year, give or take, because mathematically they figured it out, but due to the size of our sun, you have to put in a variable there. So and we'll talk about the dates that they've been talking about for that. But when we do cross the equator of the galaxy, there's going to be a galactic eclipse. The sun, our sun, is going to come between us and the black hole. And just as when we have a lunar eclipse where our moon comes between us and the sun, and there's a period of darkness where we're not getting the energy directly from the sun like we do all day long, this very thing is going to happen on a galactic level where when our sun comes between us and the black hole, there's going to be a period when we're not getting that energy from the black hole. Another thing that's happening, if you know about a little something about the Earth and the equator, you'll know that if you're south of the equator and you drain water, it drains one way, and if you're north of the equator, it drains the other way. This is called the Corollis effect. Well, when we cross the equator of the galaxy, what's going to happen is it's going to flip our magnetic field. And according to science, our pineal gland, which is in our brain, actually it's called the pineal. They call it pineal because it resembles a little pine cone physically. And that gland is directly affected by the magnetic field that we are in. And according to some neurologists and whatnot, that gland is also the key to our spirituality. And that is where the predictions come that once we do come into this new age, which would be on the other side of the galactic equator, that the effect that the flipping of the magnetic field will have on our pineal gland will be the key that opens the door to the spiritual awakening that we've been talking about and that has been predicted. So working backwards, when people think of, and you know, you tell people about the Mayans, and I've been talking to a lot of people lately about this to get, you know, as much information and what, and a lot of people say, oh, you're not one of those, are you? And, like, you know, right immediately you're being dismissed that you're taking the word of some Central Americans from 5,000 years ago that, you know, that there's a big change coming this year. Well, interestingly enough, okay, I'll step back and I'll give you that, you skeptics out there, but the science cannot be disputed. What's happening, our orbit, you know, is can be tracked, and what I just explained is definitely happening, and it's within this time period. So when what I have to say about the Mayans is they had no way of knowing about the black hole, about the Milky Way, and all of that sort of stuff 5,000 years ago, and yet their math and their calendars have predicted that this is the time when something extremely significant is going to happen. So they didn't know that this was going to happen, and yet they hit it pretty close.
Yeah, and that raises the question, you know, hitting it like that, I mean, how is that possible? I mean, do you think that this was a prediction based upon science where they analyzed the data and they came up with a... or they were a culture that that relied a lot on telepathy and things that we study in parapsychology. So, you know, maybe that entered into it. You know, were they catching glimpses of the future? I mean, what do you think? It's a little bit of both.
I'm sure there is some of that. And again, I'm going to speak to the skeptics. Is the reason that our scientists today know what's going on is because, you know, as the old expression is, they did the math. And it's mathematically certain. There's a mathematical certainty with the 36-year variable that is in the equation. But I believe that back 5,000 years ago that the Mayans had it right mathematically. And I think that if you read about how they came up with their calendar and that it cycles, it's like a gear within a gear and it's wheels within a wheel. And it, again, if you know the math of each little cog in this whole wheel that is their calendar and you put them all together, that's how they came up with the 26,000-year long count calendar. And so, yeah, I think you can actually send it right back to the mathematicians 5,000 years ago, coming up with the same results as mathematicians 20 years ago.
Yeah, it is quite amazing, and they were a culture that was extremely advanced in mathematics. It's uncannily, it's so uncanny that, I mean, a lot of people raise a theory that, which I'm sure you've heard, that they were visited by aliens that gave them all this information, you know, and,
yeah,
and it took off, because it's hard for us to grasp how somebody in an ancient culture could come up and be so precise in their calculations. We're going to go to a break, and when we come back, we're going to pick up where we left off and talking about the science in 2012, so stay with us.
Has your marketing pitch been missing the strike zone? Maybe you need a new player to help your marketing efforts. At LNRProductions.com, you'll find a team that can give your broadcast advertising the winning edge. L&R Productions has produced award-winning jingles, radio and television commercials for many businesses just like yours. Radio and television advertising work, but you need the right game plan. Make sure you're getting the most out of your ad every time it airs. www.LNRProductions.com. We'll throw strikes for your business every time.
Suzanne Good, an award-winning certified professional and master photographer, is the owner of Good Photography, a studio located in Long Island, New York for 25 years. She has devoted herself to creating timeless portraits and virtual paintings that capture the essence of a person in one single moment, forever lasting. She can use your photograph of a loved one or pet and transform it into a watercolor or canvas painting. You can view her work and email on her website, www.goodphotography.com.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
And welcome back to The Gathering on Signs of Life Radio. The number here is 1-888-627-6008. We're talking about science and the Mayan and the prophecy in 2012. One of the things that science has predicted with these disruptions by caused by sun flares and sunspots, and you know, a lot of things that I read, a lot of people saying it's not true, it's not really going to happen. Yesterday, a friend gets a thing from Cablevision, which is our cable, you know, company here, and then it was, what exactly did it say?
Oh, I should have printed it out. I didn't. But warning us that we're going to be losing our cable connections because of these sun flares.
Yeah.
So if your cable company is telling you this, then you have to conclude that our government has been watching this all along. Mm-hmm. And why have they not said a word?
Well, that is part of the science, again. It's this whole crossing the equator of the galaxy is part of it. Actually, it's cyclical. The sunspots, the years exactly, but it's like 10 or 15 years that every 10 or 15 years the sunspot activity heats up. And actually, maybe longer than that, because apparently the last time it was as intense as it's supposed to get was in the 50s. Yeah, that I do remember. And of course, the major problem with that we are going to face when the sunspot flare activity heats up is it's going to affect satellite communication. Your cell phones are going to be wacky. Your cable, your internet is going to be wacky. Things are going to be wacky with these sun flares. And of course, you know, in people say, "Well, we never had a problem before." If you say it's coming around, well, when it came around in the 50s, there weren't cell phones. There wasn't the internet. So it really didn't bother anybody. And it's, for those of you who are the doom and gloom and we're ending the world because of all this, just know that a sun flare is not going to end the world. You're going to feel like it's the end of the world when you can't get on Facebook for a few days, but, you know, that's that's a different kind of world that we're talking about.
Well, you know, Jose Aguayes, who we talked about often, he was one of the pioneers in that kind of research. You know, he was anticipating what he called telepathic solar attunement, and that fits in with what you're saying, you know, because he's talking about stepping out of the technological box, you know, and if our satellites get knocked out, our technology goes down. And that's, you know, we're going to get out of the conditioned thinking that we were in and start to be forced to rely on other types of communication. There was an article in the...
I just wanted to bring up today, if people want to go on right now while they're on their computers, Huffington Post posted today, March 1st.
I just had that right here, yeah. Interesting.
Solar flare big enough to cause catastrophe on Earth called Surprisingly Likely. They do a video on there that explains it scientifically and explains how it has happened in the past, just like you said, Tom. But they did also say there was one that happened, but they called it the Carrington event, back in 1859, which caused widespread disruption of communication systems as well as brilliant auroras as far south as the Caribbean, which itself was unusual. But back then, disruption of your communications was telegraph.
That's right.
But still, it was enough. And we're not even talking about, you know, the waves, all the different waves we have that we depend on right now for our texting and our phone and our and all these other kind of crazy. This was just simple telegraph that got totally knocked out.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, and I did notice that same article, and it, and the scientist that was talking said, you know, asking about what are some of the things that could happen from these high-energy particles that are liberated from the sun flare. He says, well, it could cause a disruption of transportation, communication, banking and finance systems, government services, the breakdown of the distribution of potable water because of pump failures, and the loss of perishable foods and medications because of lack of refrigeration.
Oh,
so that's some serious stuff that could happen. But as you mentioned, I guess maybe there are the word is not being disseminated, but a lot of the major utility companies are aware of it.
Why? I've noticed over the past 2 years that there used to be this one. In a while, very rare commercial you would see on TV that basically starts with, "Are you prepared?" And all it doesn't say anything. It just shows a family all of a sudden being tossed all over their apartment or home or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Now they're showing this commercial all the time. And now we just noticed on the radio, it's now a radio commercial too. So very discreetly, if you want to call it discreetly, the government is kind of saying, be prepared, but then be prepared for what? How can you be prepared if you don't know what it is?
Like Y2K was such a big deal.
Right. And all that was a miscalculation of how everybody set their computer.
Yeah, it was, for some reason when they made computers, they didn't think that they were going to still be around in 2000.
I guess not. But they're calling this a cosmic Katrina.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's what they're calling this next one.
Yeah. We were just driving back this past weekend from Rhode Island, and I didn't even realize until Fran pointed it out, but the same thing. There were billboards saying, "Are you prepared?"
Yeah.
Mm.
So what can we do besides finding our checkbooks for those of us who do online banking, what can we do to prepare?
I would say prepare yourself, because I think what they're telling you is, it's not like Tom is explaining how this thing is going to transition as we get closer to that area of time that we can't put our fingers on. But we see it as a time span. However, we're already seeing this shift in the weather, in earthquakes, in tsunamis, and all this kind of stuff. That's what we're going to be experiencing more and more frequently. I mean, even today,
already there's
the reports
tornadoes.
Of tornadoes going through areas
horrible.
Where they have never been before,
right, wintertime,
and doing major destruction.
Thing, yeah.
New Jersey, which never had tornadoes, has tornadoes regularly now.
Yeah.
Connecticut as well. It's odd. And, you know, the naysayers are the people that were talking about global warming. Whether it is or isn't global warming, the global warming may have something to do with this.
Well, it's another indicator as well.
Yeah, it's an indicator. It's not something that we've necessarily created.
Right.
But I think what we can do to prepare is the same thing we prepare for any catastrophe, for a hurricane, for a tornado. You know, have a place to go that's safe. If it feels like an earthquake, you got to be in a doorway or someplace that has support. Keep a lot of bottled water in your house, canned goods. You know, watch the expiration dates and switch them out every so often. But people should start paying attention. If the government is giving us these subtle messages, then you know it's more serious than that.
Right.
Remember, they didn't even mention 9/11.
Right. They don't. Yeah, exactly. They don't want to cause panic, and yet they want to try to have people prepared.
Right. You need to know what to prepare for.
Right. Well, I guess the thing is to prepare for not having electricity. Anything that you counting on electricity, and that would mean, you know, when you get foods, I'll have firewood. If you want to cook something, you're going to cook it on a fire. We're going to be camping out basically until it blows over, if you will. So, and we don't know how long that's going to take to blow over.
So, how does all this fit in with? I mean, we're talking about some cataclysmic type changes, you know, and we also believe that there's going to be some sort of a shift in consciousness, you know. So how do we integrate the two? Is the shift going to be because of these changes that are taking place in the earth, or is it just going to go into an age of enlightenment because of other factors? I mean, you have any thoughts on that?
Well, I'm waiting for more from Tom on the pineal gland, because we've talked about that before. We've had scientists on that talk about that particular gland and how it has something to do with our non-physical orientation to the world or our consciousness.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've been talking since the 70s of this age of enlightenment that's been coming, you know, and everybody said, well, you know, what are you smoking that you're talking about that? But now we're seeing it.
Yeah.
Now we're seeing it coming. And those people who were talking about it were people who normally did deep meditation, some various drugs maybe that made them think a little differently or see things that we didn't see. But they, like the Mayans, they were able to wrap their mind around something that is going to happen that we're not accustomed to happening.
Yeah, you know, and it's also interesting with the pineal gland. Remember, we had Dr. Strassman on, who was talking about DMT, and how we all have a DMT in our bodies, which is a hallucinogenic, and it's naturally occurring. Where is it produced? The theory in the pineal gland, and the Mayans themselves, the shamans, you know, partook in various you know, substances, you know, drugs, to gain insight. So maybe that, you know, maybe they were getting
accurate information.
Yeah, and as you said, you know, that very well could be a trigger. You know, the geomagnetic forces could be a trigger that releases all of this, what's called a DMT in our bodies, which leads to the shift.
Has anybody done any research with mediums and when they're communicating and this DMT? Because that would be very interesting to see if there's more DMT in their body.
Or even when they do that brain imaging. Well, now, what were the mediums hooked up to in the Arizona experiments that we saw in life?
Well, the EEGs, so they're measuring brain waves, you know, but it's really difficult to research, you know, the pineal gland, especially with a live patient. You know, it's like, how do you get in?
Right in the center.
Maybe your brother who studies the brain could help us with this.
I could ask him about that.
I was going to track Tom's brain with little nodes to determine when he's actually listening to me. I want something to light up that he's actually listening.
Well, will you make a report on that?
If Melissa can invent something like that, a lot of women would be buying that light.
Of course, you never know if it's working or not, because it never lights up.
Never. Okay, one for Tom. I guess where he's sleeping. Right over there on your pool table.
You know, and this coincides with the Mayan, the end of that long count calendar, right?
Yeah.
So, do you think that the calendar really ended? I mean, you know, the Mayans believed in they measured everything in time intervals, you know. So,
I have an answer for that.
Yeah.
In a question. When you go out to your car, next time you go to your car, tell me where the tire ends. It's cyclical. It's
I got a flat the other day, so I could tell you.
And you can see where it comes around again, but
right.
Then it keeps going around. And that's, in fact, probably a good
life.
Time for this. People talk about the Mayans as if they're extinct, but actually they are still Mayans in this world. And the Mayan elders just happen to have been fairly silent about all of this. Until recently, there is a Mayan elder by the name of Don Alejandro, in 1999, gave a speech. And in that speech, he firmly denounces the people who are looking to frighten people with visions of destruction. And his quote is, "I have come in fulfillment of the prophecies that we may all walk together. No group shall be left behind. I am here in fulfillment of this prophecy, carrying this message to all that hear me and to all who love the earth, to all who love peace and who love themselves." And he's speaking about that it's not the end of the world, and he doesn't even talk about end. He's talking about the cycles coming around and it brings with it a new age. And the Mayans talk about four or five ages, and we're not even in the last age. According to some, and this is, again, speculative by what scientist is telling you, but there are some that believe that the Mayans talked about five ages, and the age that's ending now is the fourth age. So we're not even at the end of their ages, if you will. We're going into the fifth age, which is supposedly the age of the highest enlightenment.
Yeah, I know that I heard one person talking about the calendar, and you know they're wondering why they stopped keeping records, you know, at that point. And they said, "Well, they know that it's just a continuum and it's going to repeat again. So why continue? They just, you know, there's no point. They already did all their work. You know,
yeah.
They already mapped everything out. You know,
and again, people are thinking, well, calendar, they're talking years, and they ended with the year 2012. Well, the calendar that we're talking about is 26,000 years for one complete cycle. And it just happens that the cycle ends at 2012, and the next one starts, right away. And it goes for another 26,000 years. And, you know, really, and if it does go around, yeah, then why bother saying it again? We just told you this is the cycle.
Right. It's got to sink in sooner or later.
I guess so.
Yeah, they also, you know, from what I gather, both the Mayans and the Aztecs, they believed in a heaven, and they believed in that you could communicate, you know, with heaven, and that there were different ways of communicating between the different worlds. Some of them were a little barbaric. They had like a bloodletting ceremony, and that was
wow.
One way that you gain access to the. So I mean, even there were rituals and.
This ritual dogma stuff. You could get yourself in big trouble.
That is true. And the, you know, the theme throughout this book is that. And from people that I have talked to, is they say you have to be very careful because of the term self-fulfilling prophecy, that if you're convinced that it's doom and gloom coming, you're going to bring that on. And, so it's it behooves you to take the positive light here and put your faith in that it's a better world coming. However, I do have another bit of science here for those of you who want to think your world's going to end. Those of you living out west, apparently under the Great Lake in, not Great Lake, but a big lake in Yellowstone National Park is what's called a super volcano that's about at the bottom of this lake. Wow. And apparently that's sort of due to blow, you know, and when we say due geologically, it could happen in 100 years, but it's if it blows, apparently it will be with a force of several atomic bombs that will kind of affect three states out there from in the radius of Yellowstone National Park, and, you know, and create a nuclear winter as well with radiation clouds and that sort of thing. So for those who still cling to the end of the world, you know, head out west and you might get your wish.
Well, that's the thing.
Yellowstone particularly.
Yeah.
when you talk about, you know, self-fulfilling prophecy, you know, the question is whether, you know, our group consciousness can actually reverse, you know, some of these so-called naturally occurring, you know, disasters. You know, could our intention, reverse it? And it's about thinking positive and thinking good thoughts. I guess that's possible. If we could bring it on, we could also prevent it. I know that one of the things that Aguayus was doing, he had these harmonic convergences, you know, and people would gather at sacred sites, and they would all have these positive thoughts, and that would trigger, like the Mayans had a belief in, like a big memory circuit, which is something that the scientists are talking about now, you know, the matrix, and, you know, and that we could all tap into it, but we can enhance this process by gathering at these, you know, all these different sacred sites. So I guess another real interesting thing about these ancient cultures is they believed that there were certain, you know, physical sites that were connected to the heavens, and, you know, so why not, you know? I mean, I guess there's some science involved with that, too, with different geomagnetic forces and ley lines, and supposedly the Earth is connected by a grid, right, mm-hmm. of energy lines, so... I mean, who knows? But I mean, overall, so you've read a good deal about the science. So let me ask you: I mean, after reading about as much as you can from a scientific perspective, did that change the way that you felt about what you had previously thought about 2012? I mean, are you of the opinion that there's a real danger here, or that it's just another way of bringing on this new enlightenment?
Well, I'm of the mind that it is the actual new awakening, and it is a better world coming, and our awareness will be heightened. And when our awareness is heightened, we will just naturally treat everyone better, and then we will get along, and it will be more harmonious. And and when I get the science that it gives credence to some of the intuitive things that I've been feeling about it. I mean, I know I've been, ever since this radio show started, I keep bringing up the whole 11-11 and how I'm trying to understand it, and it's coming in line with the things I found out about that. And I know I'm connected with that. Still don't know how, other than I guess it's making me feel that I'm not so unique in being connected to the 11-11, because apparently we all are, and I just happen to have the numbers thrust on me to maybe to waken me up, to so I can do things like this, and I can talk about it, and more than talk about it, but research it and find out what the so-called truth is, or recognize it when it comes. I still don't know exactly where my role is in all of this, but it has sent me down this pathway to finding out these things.
Didn't we read, unless I'm mistaken, that according to this prophecy of on December 21st, 2012, that it was going to happen at 11:11?
Yeah, remember that.
Yes, so that's pretty interesting when I read that, you know. So I, you know, it's still, you know, I guess still mainstream science will look at this as new age, and they'll say, no, it's not, you know, yes, there might be some solar flares, but they're not going to be significant. You know, they're we don't exactly know where the galactic equator is, so, you know, so we're, you know, that may be nothing, but it wouldn't be the first time in history that things were downplayed by mainstream science, and then they turned out to be significant, you know. So I don't know. That idea about this, the geomagnetic forces, you know, being reversed, I've heard that a lot, you know, and then I've heard, you know, the scientific skeptic saying, no, that would, it's impossible, you know, it can't happen. But what do I know? So we're going to go to a break, and we come back. We're going to continue talking about the science in 2012. So stay with us. We'll be back in a few.
Has your marketing pitch been missing the strike zone? Maybe you need a new player to help your marketing efforts. At L&R Productions.com, you'll find a team that can give your broadcast advertising the winning edge. L&R Productions has produced award-winning jingles, radio and television commercials for many businesses just like yours. Radio and television advertising work, but you need the right game plan. Make sure you're getting the most out of your ad every time it airs. www.lndrproductions.com. We'll throw strikes for your business every time.
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies Program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
It is with great pleasure that we announce the formation of the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential. Dr. Julie Beischel, Director of Research at Winbridge and one of the premier investigators in the field of mediumship research, reports that the team at Winbridge will continue pursuing the many unanswered questions that remain in the field of afterlife science. Please go to www.windbridge.org to learn more about this groundbreaking research institute. That's www.winbridge.org.
The American Association of Electronic Voice Phenomena has always been international and concerned with more than just EVP. To better serve the public, the AAEVP is now Association Transcommunication, or ATRANSC. Their new website is ATRANSC.org, and their motto is Objective Evidence of Survival. The directors believe people should know that death is not dying, and what we learn now applies to what we will learn hereafter.
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you could find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
And welcome back to Signs of Life Radio. This is The Gathering, and we're talking about 2012 and the science behind it. And I know Tom has been reading up studiously on this, and he's got some good information for us, and I'd like to continue with that. Where do photons enter into this?
Well, we have been talking primarily about the science of what's going on in this time, and there's something else that scientifically is certainly happening. However, there's a bit of quasi-science that goes along with it. So let me get into the science. First of all, there is a constellation of, stars called the Pleiades, or Pleiades, I'm not sure. It's P-L-E-I-D-E-S. And it is going to be crossing very close to our solar system. And it's closest it's ever gotten. And that's a certainty. What is uncertain is that there is a philosophy, if you will, or a belief by many, that with this constellation, there is what's called a photon belt. And we know photons are the smallest unit of light. And this photon belt that is going around the constellation, it's believed, has extremely high spiritual energy. And that, connected with everything else we have talked about, is leading people to predict this new age of enlightenment. And yet, the books that I've read caution very strongly that there is no real scientific proof of the photon belt, and yet they keep mentioning it, like, you know, we can't really talk about it, but here's where it is. So
how would we really know? I guess you could say, because the photons are particles of light, that, you know, light is connected with spirituality, so maybe that's where they're getting it from. But otherwise, how would they? You wonder how that came about. You know, how would one make the connection?
Yeah, they didn't really talk about the origin of it. They just said that it's there. I mean, the people who believe in it are taking it as gospel, and the skeptics and the scientists are saying, well, you know, okay, but, you know, we need more substantial evidence, mathematical evidence, I would guess.
I guess we're going to find out.
Maybe the photon belt is our glimpse into the bigger universe, the unifying consciousness.
Yeah, it could have been, you know,
if it's light,
a field.
Yeah, that's what we've been taught all along, and you know, yeah. We see this light come through, this concept of light come through everything, and even in religions and names of churches and things like that. And we know that just from working with mediumship.
Mm-hmm. I do.
They're all oriented towards light.
A lot of guided meditation that I've been through, the first thing they say is imagine a white light coming down and surrounding your body. Well,
and protecting your body.
Exactly. Yeah.
The white light is there to protect you.
Yeah.
So isn't this something that we should pay paying attention to?
I think
at
so.
At times of turmoil, pay attention to the light.
And, you know, another thing that probably needs to be mentioned, because I did mention the black hole at the beginning of this, is the source of energy for the galaxy. And there are probably a few people scratching their head out there, Star Trek fans for one, I would imagine, because if you're a fan of sci-fi, whenever they talk about a black hole, they talk about, well, the black hole is a place where it sucks everything in, and, you know, nothing comes out, and it just absorbs everything and just basically eats up planets. And in a sense, that's true, but if you think of it in the terms that I was talking about as being analogous to our solar system, the very same thing could be said about our sun. You know, the reason that we're in an orbit around the sun, and even the planets as far out are still in orbit, is because the sun has that gravitational pull. That's what's keeping us in orbit. And so the closer you get to the sun, the stronger it's going to be, and it's pulling you there. I mean, if you want to get to another analogy, go outside and jump up in the air. What's happened? The earth is pulling you right back down again. So it's not a matter, it's not a destructive, how can it be both? How can it be sucking everything in and yet giving us energy? Well, ask the same question about the sun. Now, the sun is pulling us towards it, and yet it's also giving out the light that we live on. And that's the real deal with the black hole. It's an extremely powerful energy, and if you were to have a spacecraft flying close to it, it would draw you in just like if you jumped off a cliff, the Earth would draw you to your own destruction. So that's a little bit of hopefully clearing up the whole black hole controversy. Yeah. You guys out picketing against the black hole.
Well, scientists are fascinated with the dark matter and the black hole, because it the potential for as an energy source are unlimited. You could run all the energy on Earth with a thimble of energy from the black hole. So someday they figure they're going to harness that. It's interesting. It said that the Mayans plotted their calendars, with the objective of preparing for significant world events. And there are people today that make decisions based upon the alignment of the planets, right? I mean, sure. People that are into astrology, astrology was always something that I probably like everybody else, as a kid, I just thought that was something like gypsies did, reading tea leaves and that kind of stuff. But there's some real science behind astrology, and real mathematics to it, I read some things that were pretty astounding. So, it's interesting how these ancient cultures lived so differently than we did in so many ways. They relied on their surroundings and versus technology, and I think that's what this whole thing eventually is going to come about. I'm just not so sure. I mean, I believe that there's going to be a change, and I believe there's going to be a shift. I don't know whether that means that there's going to be a shift because we're going to rebuild after destruction. will it take these catastrophic events to push us into this new age, or is this new age just going to happen? Possibly by one of the theories that you suggested, Tom. Some of these physical effects will affect our ability to perceive things differently, maybe it's not necessary that we're all going to be brought down to nothingness and then rebuilt up over a long period of time. I hope that it's something more subtle. It's not going to be we're not going to be hit over the head. We're just going to see this gradual changing, and like you said, Tom, that there are windows. It may not be exactly December 21st, 2012, and science could be off a little bit, but there is a definite window that's happening. So,
and for those of you planning your party, the Mayan elders, actually, some of them have said that it's actually March 31st, 2013.
Ah.
So, when December comes and goes without with a whimper, you can plan your other end-of-the-world party.
I like that
March.
Number.
Is that 3-3-1-1-3? And is that on a Friday?
No, on a Friday? What?
Friday the 13th?
March 31st.
Oh.
For you dyslexics.
Thank you.
All right, just let me know when I have to get out of the stock market.
You should get out of the stock market anyway.
Oh, I knew you were going to say that. All right, well, I guess it's time now you have our prayer.
Yeah, we now ask our listeners to please join us in our healing energy circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind, as we visualize the healing light upon Vicky Steffi, Wendy Lippo, Mark Barron, Eileen Lafada, Joanne Gerber, Lynn LeClaire, and CJ. And now let's give energy of love and gratitude to the waters and all the living creatures by praying like this: to the waters, whales, dolphins, pelicans, fishes, shellfishes, plankton, coral, algae, and all creatures in our Earth's waters, I apologize. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. And that was from the original Gulf Water Prayer by Masaru Emoto on May 9th, 2010. And now it's time to say,
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.